The scripture from which I read is from Acts chapter 11, as found in your pew Bible, page 122 in the New Testament. Now the apostles and the brethren who were in Judea heard that the Gentiles also had received the word of God. So when Peter went up to Jerusalem, the circumcision party criticized him, saying, "Why did you go to the uncircumcised men and eat with them?" But Peter began and explained to them in order, "I was in the city of Joppa praying, and in a trance I saw a vision, something descending like a great sheet, let down from heaven by four corners, and it came down to me. Looking at it closely, I observed animals and beasts of prey and reptiles and birds of the air. And I heard a voice saying to me, 'Rise, Peter, kill and eat.' But I said, 'No, Lord, for nothing common or unclean has ever entered my mouth.' But the voice answered a second time from heaven, 'What God has cleansed, you must not call common.' This happened three times, and all was drawn up again into heaven. At that very moment, three men arrived at the house in which we were, sent to me from Caesarea. And the Spirit told me to go with them, making no distinction. These six brethren also accompanied me, and we entered the man's house. And he told us how he had seen the angel standing in his house and saying, 'Send to Joppa and bring Simon, called Peter. He will declare to you a message by which you will be saved, you and all your household.' As I began to speak, the Holy Spirit fell on them, just as on us at the beginning. And I remembered the word of the Lord, how he said, 'John baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit.' If then God gave the same gift to them as he gave to us when we believed in the Lord Jesus Christ, who was I that I could withstand God?" When they heard this, they were silenced. And they glorified God, saying, "Then to the Gentiles also God has granted repentance unto life." Here ends the reading, the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
We turn to our gospel lesson. If you are able and willing, please stand as we read the gospel lesson. We need to put this in perspective in the timeline. This is before Easter. Odd to be reading it now, but there are reasons. Judas has been confronted. Jesus has confronted him, and Judas has departed to go and betray Christ for 30 pieces of silver. And the scripture picks up at that point. When Judas had gone out, Jesus said, "Now the Son of Man has been glorified, and God has been glorified in him. If God has been glorified in him, God will also glorify him in himself and will glorify him at once. Little children, I am with you only a little longer. You will look for me, and as I have said to the Jews, so now I say to you, where I am going, you cannot come. I give you a new commandment, that you love one another. Just as I have loved you, you also should love one another. By this everyone will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another." The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Firmly bound, forever free. Amen. The scripture from Revelation. This is the 21st chapter, beginning with verse 1. "Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and the sea was no more. And I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of the heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, 'See, the home of God is among mortals. He will dwell with them. They will be his people. And God himself will be with them. He will wipe every tear from their eyes. Death will be no more. Mourning and crying and pain will be no more. For the first things have passed away.' And the one who was seated on the throne said, "See, I am making all things new." Also he said, "Write this, for these words are trustworthy and true." Then he said to me, "It is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. To the thirsty I will give water as a gift from the spring of the water of life." The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Good morning, sinners. Good morning, saints. Moving on to perfection, aren't we? We got to keep swinging and plugging away at it. And we got to keep working. Does anybody know what time it is? With apologies to Chicago, the Chicago Transit Authority, the band. Does anybody know what time it is? Does anybody really care? Do you remember that song, Some of Us Rock and Rollers? Do you remember that song? You might want to ask the question, which time are we asking about? Where's Charlie? Did she duck out for a minute? Oh, I was going to pick on her. On the corner here, we got a timepiece there. I picked one out. I don't know what the rest of it is. There's a guy there with wings and a sickle, and it's an interesting thing. It's probably a very expensive clock, a very expensive chronometer. That's one of the Greek words, chronos. That's this kind of time. It's the, how long has the preacher been going now? But there's another time. There's a time called Kairos. And I was going to pick on Charlie because the prison ministry is named Kairos. And someday we'll have to figure out why they chose that and how that is. Kairos is a different word. It's a word that gets translated as time, but it's a different word. It has a different meaning. It's a propitious event that might have long-lasting major repercussions. All those big words, don't worry about that. Remember Carl Sandburg, the road less traveled? Two roads to... Who did I say? Yes, Robert Frost. Thank you very much. Thank you, Richard. I wonder where we got that and how that got in there. That's interesting. Doesn't matter. Two roads in a yellow wood. Two roads diverged in a yellow wood, and I took the road less traveled. That's a Kairos moment. You're coming to this pass, and you know what I'm talking about. Those have happened in your lives. You've come to a certain point. I said, "Paula, will you marry me?" It was a Kairos moment. She thought I could be happy or I could marry him.
I'm sorry I had to toss that out there.
Kairos moment is you make a decision that's going to impact you for a long time. You decide, and at that instant, you have the ability to push things in a major way. I used to work on the stage, and one of the things that always seemed to happen is you'd be on the ladder and you'd need the wrench. So you'd say, "Throw me the wrench." Well, there's an art to throwing the wrench up. You can throw it and hit somebody and knock them off the ladder, and that's not really the preferred method. But if you throw it just right, the wrench, it gets to its apogee right in front of the person you're throwing it to. It's going up, it's going faster, and slows down, and gravity slows it, and at that one instant it stopped, and the person on the ladder just reaches out and grabs it. Doesn't happen very often, but it's beautiful when it does. But that's a Kairos moment. At that instant, if you just tap it, you can change its velocity, its direction, all of its future. Can you think of other types of Kairos moments? I was in college. We had a one-act play festival, came to the theater. These groups from all around the country, a group came from Boise, Idaho, and he... After the one-act plays were over, he came up to me and said, "I'd like you to come and be the technical director on the stage for me at Boise." He says, "I'll pay you full scholarship. You can get your degree, full salary as an on-staff employee, the whole thing." I thought, wow. But that means leaving the place I grew up and my family and the people I knew and the gal that I was interested in and all of that sorts of things. So it was a Kairos moment. And maybe if I'd said yes, I wouldn't be here today. Good or bad, you can take that however you want to put it. Kairos moments are those pivotal moments in time. In the 60s, there were Kairos moments. The Cuban Missile Crisis came to a point, and we were balanced on a razor's edge for a while. I, I don't remember it when it happened, but I've read about it. We were this close to nuclear war with Russia. It was an ugly time. God grant it not happen again. Kairos moments are those moments that they ask you questions. How are you going to respond? And it's an important time. So it's not a time, chronos time. It's a kairos time. It's that pivotal instant in time. Churches, we've heard some kairos moments. This moment with Simon Peter. I got to tell you a story. You heard about the priest and the rabbi that had been long friends. Went out to lunch every Sunday after worships. And they'd been doing this for decades. And the priest was sitting there and he's eating his lunch and he turns to the rabbi and he says, "This ham is wonderful." Now you know that Jewish people don't eat pork, so they don't eat ham. He said, "This ham is wonderful. You ought to have a bite of this ham. It just melts in your mouth." The rabbi smiled. He says, "I will try some of that on the day that I dance at your wedding." Simon Peter is gathered with the uncircumcised, the unclean, the Gentiles, the people that eat anything. They'll eat pork, they'll eat seafood, they eat crusty fish, they eat birds, they eat all these unclean things. Simon Peter says, "Nothing unclean." What did you say the word was? Common. I want to take that apart one of these days and exegize why they use that word common. But he says, "Nothing common has ever passed my lips. I would never eat this." And then God says, "What God has made clean, you must not call profane." All of those unclean things in that sheep being lowered down, he says, "This, kill and eat. These foods are now okay for you." The Jews had been living with this dietary set of laws for thousands of years. And they needed that boundary maintenance. They needed to live a special way, separated from people. Because that kept them alive. For 2,000 years, they had no home, they had no place, they had no temple, no central government, no nothing. And they could have easily been assimilated into other cultures and lost. They were scattered. The term is in diaspora. In the diaspora, they survived because they had high walls, boundary maintenance walls, and it separated them from the other culture. They did things differently. They ate differently. They worshiped differently. And that's how they kept together. And now comes this kairos moment when God and the Holy Spirit say to Simon Peter, "That dietary restriction is gone now." Can you imagine? You've grown up with your parents and your great-grandparents all ate the same way, and all of a sudden here comes the rule that says, no, it's different now. Unsettling. The Jews would have just been aghast. And yet here's the Holy Spirit doing this work. Here is God. And it was that kairos moment, and you know it didn't come easily. Change is like that, isn't it? Change and new things and new ways of being are hard. Peter was building bridges with his kairos moment. In that moment, they built the bridges to the Gentile mission. That's us. Now, there's a couple of it in here that I know have Jewish heritage, but the majority of us, we're all heathen, pagan Gentiles. Hello, sinners. But that Gentile mission, that building of bridges, Jesus did that. That's what he did. He was all about kairos moments. He's out picking grain on the Sabbath. You're not supposed to do that. He was out and he went and he greeted lepers. Lepers were bad people, and you knew they were bad because they were sick. The belief was that if you were ill, you were being punished by God. And these people were really ill. Leprosy is awful. So they must have been really awful people. So nobody went to the lepers. And Jesus did. And women. Women. In that day and age, women had nothing, no status, no place, no voice. As a matter of fact, if we turn to Timothy, you're supposed to keep quiet in church, keep your heads covered, and go home and ask your husbands at the end of the worship service, right? It got really quiet in here. Did you notice that? Kairos moment, changing that and unfolding that and unpacking that. Who was the first woman clergy here at Burns? Was it Betty Bradford? Jenny Chase? Marilyn Lesser? I knew that somebody would have that history, and I didn't have it in front of me. Who?
Noni? Noni Cook?
Tony Cook. I didn't know. See, I don't have the whole history of this church yet. I didn't know Tony Cook was in this pulpit at one point in time. Good for her. Lovely people. How? I can't imagine our conference, our ministry, being the ministry it is without the women in ministry. Jenny Chase, dear, sweet person, and Bishop Swanson has launched me. Anything that irritates you is Bishop Swanson who has launched me. So there you go. Well, and Ray Sano. That's another one, those ethnic diversity. That's another piece of that. But women, Jesus broke down that wall. A Kairos moment. You know, how much history do you know about the United Methodist Church? We got to go there for just a minute. Wesley came to, he was an Anglican priest. He started worshiping in this, he had this weird method for worshiping. That's where Methodists come from. And his group was a worshiping group. He says, we're still Anglican, we just worship differently. And then it came to America, and boy, we made it our own. Of course, it was that war with Britain, and we said anything British, we're going to kick that out. But American Methodism is distinctly different. Came to America, and Methodism is the right way to be. It's about compassion for one another. It's care of one another. It's living lives of integrity, moving on to perfection. And people said, we believe in this. This is good. A group of Germans came over and they said, we want to do this too. And Wesley said, that's fine, but you've got to worship in English. He said, but we don't speak English. We only speak German. Wesley said, can't do it. Wesley had some growing to do too, you understand. So they formed their own denomination. They called themselves the United Brethren in Christ and spoke only German. Another group called the Evangelical Association, only German. Well, within two generations, they were all speaking English. They merged, so it was the Evangelical United Brethren. You might have heard of them. Anybody heard of the EUB? Yeah. 1969, they were all worshiping in English, and the Methodist Episcopal Church was all worshiping in English. They all merged together. So how do you merge the Methodist Episcopal Church and the Evangelical United Brethren? What name are you going to come up with to merge that mess? Alphabet soup. And that's where we became United Methodists. And that merger, it must have been an interesting one. It came smoothly in 1969. And we changed too in how we are as a people and as the way we're about. The denomination has been an important one. And now it's at a Kairos moment too. It isn't just the United Methodist Church. And it isn't just Burns. I read... In the newsletter, we knew that Merritt Memorial United Methodist Church was closing. Rich and I went and got a copier that they were getting rid of, brought it here. St. Paul's United Methodist Church in downtown Denver, that was the one that Tony Cook really built up, and is closing. I've also heard now that Alameda Heights is closing. What's this about? How can this be? We used to be building churches. We used to be trying to expand, finding room to fit everyone in. But it's not just the metro churches, and it's not just United Methodist churches. It's churches and it's groups, Masons and Elks, all those fraternal organizations. They're changing. And one of them, it was an interesting article I read from one group that was struggling, says, we got to figure out that we can't just keep trying to do the same things and expect different results here. At some point, something has to change. A Kairos. What is that Kairos going to be? I don't know. It is unsettling. I like doing things the good old-fashioned, the way we've always done them. We like that familiarity. We like the way everything works the same way, and you know what to expect. But we're at a Kairos moment. We're at a Kairos moment in our society. We're in a Kairos moment with everything going on. Jesus was gathered with his disciples, and that was that Kairos moment too. They're there at the Last Supper. Judas has left. Where I'm going, you can't come, he says. I won't be your leader in the flesh anymore, but the Spirit's going to be with you, and the Spirit will guide you. The Spirit's going to let you know what to do and how to be. It's the end of the beginning. Because the new is coming. What was is gone, and something new is opening up. And it took the disciples a while to catch on. It took a while for the disciples to get their footing. It took them a while to figure out how to be ministering in the name of Christ. We're at the same place. We need to be figuring out how to be ministering in the name of Christ. Our nation's at a Kairos moment. I'm grieving our nation that has returned to kind of an egocentrism. It's all about me. It's all about us. It's all about fear. And maybe it is because we haven't, as people of faith, been out there to say, listen, you're believing in the wrong sets of values. You're aiming at the wrong targets. How can we change what this is about? But something does have to change. Kairos moment. And it's a moment that calls on us distinctly. There's a saying, the only thing necessary for the triumph of evil is for good people to do nothing. Don't know who said it. It's been attributed to a man by the name of Edmund Burke, but that's been debunked. That's not true. It doesn't matter. It's a statement of truth, isn't it? Dietrich Bonhoeffer just said it another way. Do you remember Dietrich Bonhoeffer? Have you ever heard of him? He was a German living in the 30s and 40s. He was a pastor living in Germany, and he was seeing things happen in Germany at that time. This was the rise of the Nazi Party. And he opposed much of what they were doing. The Aryan race, the distinction of one correct race and exclusion, in fact, the genocide of others, the separation, and he opposed it. His friend said, you need to leave Germany. Your life is in danger. And he did. He moved to England for a period of time. He moved to England, and he was there, and he had an epiphany, if you will, or his conscience caught up with him, and he returned to Germany. Because here's what he wrote. He said, silence in the face of evil is evil itself. God will not hold us guiltless. Not to speak is to speak. Not to act is to act. And he returned. He says, this is wrong what's happening. I can't just sit back on the sidelines and point at it. I need to be involved against this evil. And he was. And it cost him his life. He will not be held guiltless. Sometimes our faith demands a lot of us. But right now it demands that commandment that Jesus left, love one another. There's a lot of fear. There's a lot of apprehension. There's a lot of anger boiling up. There's a lot of emotion going on. And all of that is real, and we need to be in the midst of it and listening and hearing. But we also need to be offering the love and the compassion that says, excluding others, judging others, building walls is not okay. We're about being Christian, and that's about building those bridges and bringing in the diversity and the love of one another. Hard stuff. Exciting stuff. Because that's what Kairos is about. There's an opportunity here. Something's about to happen. Maybe it's that moment when you find this egg and you don't know what it is, and something inside's about to pop out. We don't know what it's going to be. It reminds me of that movie Jurassic Park. I'm hoping it's something like a koala bear instead. I know they don't come in eggs, but what is going to happen? The Kairos moment is upon us. What's crucial is, what are we going to do as Christians? May we love one another and love one another and love one another. Amen.